Last time we were together on the pastor's study, we had begun a study entitled The Greatest Fools of All Time. And we'll pick up and continue our study in just a moment. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We pray as we study your very words today, that you would bless us. Bless the lesson, bless your words, bless the listener. Father, through your Holy Spirit today, teach us, show us something that we need to see from thy very words. Bless our time together now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We began last time, and I just want a little bit of review. We saw a lot of different things that the Word of God has to say about a fool. And I just wanted to review some of those things very quickly. First of all, we saw that the Word of God tells us that a fool likes to do all the talking and dominate the conversation. We saw that a fool has slanderous words. We saw that a fool has swift words. We saw that a fool talks without considering a matter. A fool has a haughty and proud spirit, the Word of God has to say. A fool has a stubborn spirit. And because a fool has a stubborn spirit, therefore he is not teachable. A fool is stubborn in rejecting the truths of the Bible about salvation, about service, about sin and separation. A fool gets into arguments all the time. A fool has a spirit that is quick to anger. And we saw that a fool takes pleasure in mischief. A fool enjoys meddling in the affairs of others. And we saw that a fool is willing to lie about others in order to stir up a fight. A fool is a gossip. He is always talking about other people to try to make people angry at them. And then we began to look at the greatest fools of all time. We saw the plenteous fool is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. Now, I want to look at the second fool of all, the greatest fools of all time, is the pompous fool. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 14, verse number 1. Psalm 14, verse number 1. In Psalm 14, verse number 1, the words of God say this: the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You certainly have to be pompous, do you not, to make a blank statement or declaration like that, amen? The Word of God tells us that all someone has to do is take a good look at the creation. And the creation itself shows us that there is a God. Amen. In Psalm 19, verse number 1, the words of God say this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So all one has to do is look up to the heavens. The heavens themselves declare the glory of God. In the firmament showeth his handiwork. All you have to do is look to the skies. And there before your eyes is the handiwork of God, the stars. Amen. The planets. Amen. The galaxies. Amen. In Psalm 50, verse 6, the Word of God says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, For God is judge himself, Selah. The heavens declare God's righteousness. Think about that for a moment. Just by looking at the heavens, we see that God is a righteous God. And for God is judge himself. As you stand in awe of this universe and you look to the skies and you see that God is a God of righteousness. He's a God of order. Everything is in order. Everything is right with God. Amen. Then in Psalm 97, verse 6, the words of God say, the heavens declare his righteousness. There it is again a second time. And all the people see his glory. All of this is obtained by just looking to the heavens. We can see the glory of God. Amen. As reflected in our sun, our earth, the planets, the stars, the atmosphere, and how everything is so well in balance. All one has to do is take a look around and see the heavens. For example, when the sun sets in the west, do you ever watch it as it goes down in the west, as it sets? It dyes a blood red. See, when that sun sets in the west, it's like a burial. It dyes in blood red. So it's the sun is like it's being buried. But then we see that it rises in the east. It comes up in the morning. What is this a picture of, my dear friends? This is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. So we see that the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is pictured in type of the sun setting and being buried and then rising up in the morning in the east. Note also that the heavens gives a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. For the sun rises in the east, just as Christ will return from the east. That's what the words of God say, that the Lord will return from the east, just as our sun rises in the east. In the book of Zechariah, turn there if you would with me, Zechariah chapter 14, and notice what the words of God say in verse 4 of Zechariah 14. We read this. And his feet, this is a reference to Jesus Christ in the context, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, here it is, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And then turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi, chapter number 4, in verse number 2. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the words of God say this, for unto you that fear my name shall the sun with a capital S here. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You see, it is the capital S, capital O, capital N that is returning, the Son of Righteousness. Then see with me also in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, as the Lord describes to his disciples the events of the tribulation and following the tribulation, he talks about his return at the end of the tribulation in Matthew 24, in verse number 27. The words of God say this: For as lightning cometh, here it is, out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ is telling us right here that he shall return from the east. Thus we see that the heavens declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and his second coming. This is why the Apostle Paul stated that the heathen are without excuse. In other words, people often say, well, what about people living in remote areas where they've never heard in their own language the preaching of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Will God hold them accountable? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says. In Romans chapter 1 with me, I want you to see this. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. The words of God say this: For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal God, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what the Apostle Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as these words were written down and preserved without error, he's saying, the individual, every individual is without excuse. Because all one has to do is go out and look at the creation. Look up at the sky. And through that, he knows there is a God and a Godhead. So then when he's given this information, he knows that there's a God. What does he do with it? Is he going to make his conscience, and he has a conscience, is he going to live in a way that would be pleasing to God? Or is he going to reject what he sees in the heavens that witnesses that there is a God and live in a way that's ungodly? But he has a choice. And I firmly believe, and the scriptures bear this out, we don't have time right now, but if that individual looks to the sky and believes is there a God and tries to live a way that's pleasing to God, that God will send a preacher, a missionary to that person, and he will hear in his own language the specifics. He will hear the preaching. He will hear what he needs to be saved. Amen. See? So that's why we see here that man is without excuse. There is no man that is without excuse that will be held accountable, because the heavens declare that there is eternal power and a Godhead. So here we see the second greatest fool of all time is the pompous fool. the one that says in his heart, there is no God. The third fool that we want to look at, as we've seen so far, the plenteous fool, the pompous fool, and now we want to look at the postponing fool. The postponing fool. To find this fool, we need to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts 24 with me, in verses 24 and 25. We read this, in the words of God, have this to say. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this season. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So here we see that the Apostle Paul is come before the governor Felix and his wife Drusilla. And he witnesses to them on how they can't know that they can be saved, have their sins forgiven, be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and when they die, to be assured of heaven. I can just see Paul now, that fiery little preacher, putting it right over the plate, leaving nothing to doubt. And they called. Felix called for him to have an audience with Paul, to hear about his faith in Christ. So, just that alone, we see that Felix was searching. Amen. Was he not? Because why would he even bother to have Paul come before him and witness to him about Paul's faith in Jesus Christ? So he was searching. And God saw that he was searching. And he brought Paul before him. And Paul gave him exactly, amen, right over the plate, what Felix and his wife Drusilla needed to do to be saved. To believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. And we see that Paul, it says in verse 25 of Acts 24, and as he reasoned of righteousness, the need to be right with God, in how to be right with God, amen. He told them clearly to have righteousness, to be righteous before a holy and righteous God, was to believe on his Son Jesus Christ, that it was Christ's shed blood and nothing else that paid for their sins, past, present, and future. And at the very moment they believed on Christ, that Christ's righteousness was imputed or put on their account. And then therefore, when they stood before God, God would see them as righteous because they had the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he reasoned of righteousness in temperance. Amen. Temperance, self-control, how one is to live a life for God after they're saved. Amen. See? As a result of being saved, there should be a change, Paul said. And then he said, and he reasoned of righteousness and temperance in judgment to come. He told them very clearly that once you leave this life, you're going to stand before God in judgment. We know that the Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They'll stand before God, not based, they're already saved, so they're righteous. Their salvation is not going to be judged, but their works after they got saved will be judged. Of what sort they were, amen. But the unsaved will stand someday at that great white throne judgment, where they'll be found guilty and cast into a lake of fire, where they will spend time and eternity in that lake of fire, my dear friend. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. So obviously, what Paul had to say affected Felix. He trembled. I believe that man came under conviction, amen. Felix came under conviction. His conscience convicted him. The Holy Spirit was convicting him. But what did he do? Here was his opportunity. He was searching. Amen. Because he called for Paul to come. Amen. And he wanted to hear Paul concerning Paul's faith in Christ. And Paul did just that. So here he's given the specifics. Felix, you want to be saved? You want to have your sins forgiven? You want to know when you die that you'll go to heaven? That when you face the judgment, that God will see that you are righteous? Because you have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ upon you, then you must believe, amen, that it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else that can pay for your sins and secure your home in heaven. But what did Felix do? We see that Felix trembled. He was affected by what Paul had to say. And then we read, and answered. What was his answer? Did he believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart? No. He answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, Felix was a postponing fool. Here he was, brought right up to the very entrance of heaven. The door was wide open for him to come in. And what did he do? He didn't go in. He didn't go in through the gate, through the Lord Jesus Christ. No. He turned around and walked away. And he said to Paul, go thy way this time. He put it off. He put off being saved. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. How many people do this? Maybe they'll come to church. And the preacher will preach. And the invitation will be coming. And they'll come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And what will they do? They'll go and walk the other way, just as Felix did that day. How many times have you witnessed to someone, told them what the Scripture said in order to be saved? And you've seen that they were coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they said, no, I'll get saved another time. No, I've got to do this. No, I've got to clean up my ways. I've got to live a better life. I've got to do this. I've got to do this before I get saved. Even though you told them that the Lord wants you to come just as you are. Amen. The Word of God tells us not to put off getting saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. The words of God say this: For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. He says, Behold, the word of God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Don't put it off. Get saved today. Don't put it off as Felix did. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us anymore about really Felix. As far as we know, Felix never called for Paul again. You know, he said to Paul, Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, when I'm not busy, I will call for thee at another time. But we're told, or we're not told, that Felix ever called for Paul again. So, if Felix did never get saved, as sad as it is, and it is very sad, right now, he is spending all of eternity in a lake of fire. And I'm sure that what he said to Paul, when he said, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I'm sure that those words are haunting him to this day. I'm sure that a second doesn't go by that Felix's own words haunt him. And he says to himself, If only, when I trembled and I came under conviction from the preaching of the Word of God from Paul, that at that time that I should have humbled myself and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was His shed blood alone that could pay for my sins and save me from this lake of fire that now I find myself. Yes, Felix is in torment for eternity. He's crying out, he's screaming, he's in torments, he's in darkness. All because he refused the preaching of the words of God. If you are listening today and you're not saved, don't put it off like Felix, my dear friend. You'll regret it someday as you spend eternity in a literal burning lake of fire. Don't be a postponing fool like Felix. My dear friend, be saved today, because there may never be another time where you can be saved. And Christian, you don't have to be unsaved to be a fool. In our study, we looked at many different characteristics of a fool. Does one of the characteristics that we mentioned fit you? You see, a fool can be revealed by his speech, by his steps, by his spirit, by his sport, or what makes him happy. Christian, if you are a fool in any of these areas, won't you repent of your sin and get right with God? That's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. I invite each and every one of you listening to visit my website, allthecounselofgod.com. That's allthecounselofgod.com. There's a lot of good material there for you. Till we meet again, My prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.